Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our City Council meeting of May 10th, 2010. We're glad to see everyone here. I appreciate you coming and supporting Council. And as we go through our agenda, if there are questions you might have or comments, we're always open to call on you. Just raise your hand. Let us know you want to say something. And we appreciate your input and all you do for our community. If you will, as we start our meeting, if you would stand with us for a prayer and a pledge. Dear Lord, we come again, members, thanks to you. We want to thank you for the many blessings you give us, our community, our citizens, our staff, and everyone else who may work for our community to make it better, Lord. You've really blessed us. We thank you for being with us. We ask for your guidance and your wisdom as we go through our agenda. And may we listen well and come to an understanding of just what is best for our community as we do discuss our items and especially our budget tonight. And Lord, we pray at the end that we will do those things which are pleasing to you and that also are the best for our citizens and our community. So we thank you, Lord, for this time together. And we give you the honor and the glory for all the good that will come out of this meeting. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to the agenda this evening?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to, on the petitions, I guess, discuss very briefly the numbers that we got in our packet on commercial garbage account losses.
Okay.
Won't take very long at all, I guess.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Old business item two about the Whitney Polo Field. I'm sure the subject will come up during that discussion, but I want to be sure that Mr. Morris has the right contacts and direction for the work he potentially may do out there.
Okay. We certainly will discuss that when we...
I didn't know if that subject would be within the agreement or that, but I know he is here, and I want to be sure he has the right information to deal with.
Sure. Well, I would think any questions that we have, anyone has about that issue, Whitney Field, it certainly should come up. We ought to be clear on what we do and have all as many of the questions answered as we can, possibly.
Thank you.
So thank you, Reggie, for that. Okay, do we have a motion and a second, then, for the amended agenda to approve it?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion, any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Next item is minutes. Has to do with the minutes of the regular meeting of April 26, 2010. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt the minutes for the previous meeting.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding portable signs in the downtown business zone.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes.
Can we take boards and appointments?
Let's talk about that. It's not on our agenda, but we'll talk about it before the meeting's over. Is that okay?
Okay.
It's always something we want to talk about, certainly. Right. But why don't we take it up when we get down to the petitions and requests? We'll just stick it down there if it's okay with everyone. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to read the ordinance by its title. It's an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance regarding portable signs in the downtown business zone. This has been a subject that council has been discussing for the last several years of whether or not we should have us. Sandwich board or sidewalk signs in the downtown area, and if so, what they should look like. The Aiken Downtown Development Association has been working on this and presented a plan to the Planning Commission about 4 months ago, and the Planning Commission, at their April meeting, voted unanimously to recommend the attached zoning ordinance changes concerning these signs. The basic premise would be that they would be no taller than 4 feet, including the legs, and no wider than 2 feet, and no more than 6 square feet in size. The question was asked last time, well, if it's 4 feet by 2 feet, then how can it only be 6 square feet? That's because sometimes it might only be a foot and a half wide, or it might only be 3 feet tall. But again, total size has got to be 6 square feet or under. And also, all these signs would need to be put in to the business after hours. This had its first reading at the last meeting, and tonight is the second reading and public hearing of a zoning ordinance change which applies to portable signs on the sidewalks in the downtown area with the changes approved by the Planning Commission.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing, and if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue, you certainly may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve this on second reading.
Okay. I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 2 is approval of the resolution for the assignment of the developer's rights for Whitney Polo Field. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. In January, this subject was first brought before City Council concerning some storm drainage work that needs to be done in the area. Not only is there flooding on the field, but the surrounding properties, including several residences along Knox Avenue. The intent back in January was to clean out some of the ditches and more than likely put a detention pond with a pump station. Council asked us to go back, relook at that, and also to determine if we could go ahead and get some kind of guarantee from the owners of the property that it would not be disturbed for a period of time in return for doing this work. We have met with them on several occasions and have come up with an agreement, which is before you tonight. There, I've received a few different calls from different individuals concerning this agreement, and so I'd just like to go over some portions of it and some suggested changes. So if you could turn to page 61, which is the actual agreement itself. The intent of the agreement is that this agreement is between Whitney Trust and the City of Aiken. The City of Aiken is going to commit to doing certain things at the Whitney Polo Field and the piece of property, and in return, they have said that for the next 25 years, this property would not be sold. If you recall, back around 15 years ago, a portion of that property was sold, and the city wants to make certain that in the future that that property does not become split off and then split off into smaller pieces. We had asked for a longer period of time, and this is what we settled on. We had also talked about how do we title this, and the title that finally was determined was this is a declaration, which is a developer rights assignment. So in other words, they're giving up their developer's right. They're not going to be able to develop any further pieces of property. In return for that, the City of Aiken would go ahead and fix up their drainage. Now, Councilmember Ebner and myself and Larry Morris and Jenny Stoker one day walked the entire area. And it's very clear that if you look at the plats from the 1930s, and since that time we've even gotten some photography of it, that the ditches were much deeper and actually much wider, both on the infield side of the track and on the outfield side of the track. Ditches were probably around 6 feet deep. So a lot of material would have to be dug out of those areas, and a certain amount of trees and shrubbery would be also removed. So we would be stating that all work associated with the drainage system in A, so in 1A it says grantee will assist at its sole expense with renewing the drainage system, and so whatever it would take to bring it back to its original conceptual plan back in the 30s, it basically the water would get into those ditches and it would percolate back into the ground. There would be some ditch checks that would be put in there, and that would be the work that would be provided by the city of Bacon using our crews. The second area...
Roger, could you go back to that first one?
Okay.
I had to look it up,
but the word reiteration to me implies that is an obligation on the part of the city to keep it in good shape. In
yes.
other words, maintenance. So we're not only going to redo it, but we're going to be responsible, according to this agreement, for the upkeep of the drainage.
And by upkeeping it or maintaining it, then the flooding that has been occurring, especially along Knox Avenue, should not occur again. It'd be like a stormwater retention pond, which we have under control in many areas. The second area talks about a pavilion being built. I did pass around to everyone. We just got it in. The look of the pavilion, and again, we just got the plans in, so we have not been able to price it out. We had always talked about a pavilion, about $120,000 in cost. The money would come out of the accommodation tax funds. I'm not too sure if that could be built for $120,000. So with that in mind, in item B, I'd like it to be stated that we'd be building this pavilion up to, and it's up to, if we could get it less than that, that'd be fine, but it would be up to $120,000. So that would be inserted under B. Grantee will construct at his sole expense a new pavilion complex up to $120,000. And if we found out it was going to be $150,000, $160,000, then the Whitney Trust will have to determine where the money would come from, or we're going to have to go ahead and look at the pavilion and take some of the features off of it or do something to bring it within the price range of $120,000. Item number C, the intent here is that we're not intending to disturb the inside and outside railings whatsoever unless during the drainage project they got disturbed because of the ditch system. In rereading this and in talking to an individual this afternoon, if one wanted to interpret it, though, it could be interpreted that we're going to be replacing all the inside and outside railings. And if that's the case, then... Ben, I would say that we need to go ahead and make some kind of adjustment because that was not the intent, unless you think it reads here that that's not the intent. Again, if you read it, you could interpret it that we're not to replace it, but you could also read it that we are replacing all the railings inside and out. And we just want to make it clear that that would be not the intent of the city to replace the railings, only if disturbed by the city during the work on the drainage system. And then the last one would be that we would go ahead and provide the survey. If you go down to item number four, I got a call from Councilmember Ebner today, and he brought up an excellent point. If you read it in here, it says that the grantor, that's the Whitney Trust, could sell this property to someone else. And I'm talking about not just a portion, but sell the whole property. Again, whoever they sell it to would be subject to this agreement. But after talking to him, and then I talked to Mr. Tucker, who represents the trust and who worked up this agreement, we'd like to put somewhere in here that we would have first right of refusal. So in other words, if they were going to sell, and let's say they decide to sell for $1 million, then we would have the first right to go ahead and to purchase it at that price of whatever they're going to sell it at. So we'd like to go ahead and make that change. So, again, I appreciate all the comments we got from different individuals. When this was written up, it was written up based on meetings we had with staff, with representatives from the Whitney trustees. The mayor was involved in many of those meetings. And so we think we have an agreement, or at least the basis of the agreement, and there still may be some other changes that are necessary, that some of the items within here could possibly be used in other agreements as we work with other individuals. If council approves this tonight, we would be coming back to you at the next meeting, and we would be talking to you and requesting funding to do the drainage and to go ahead and do the pavilion. By approving this, you're approving the document, but we still have to come back because this is not a budgeted item. The pavilion is not in the budget. The stormwater work was not in the budget. And so since that's a budget change of over $25,000, according to city codes and ordinances, anything over $25,000 comes back to city council. So at the next meeting, we'd be laying out all the work that we intend to do and then be asking you for approval of X number of dollars. Most of it's going to be in kind for the storm drainage from Larry Morris. We may have to get a tree trimmer to come out there to cut down some trees and some shrubs. I don't think we're going to be renting any equipment, but if we did, we'd be asking for that. And then we'd go ahead and ask formally for $120,000 to come from the accommodation tax funds. So I've said an awful lot about this. There may be others that have comments on it, but I do appreciate all the help from so many different individuals in coming up with this agreement. And so for your consideration tonight, this is the approval of a resolution for the assignment of developer rights for Whitney Field in consideration for some drainage work and a pavilion to be constructed at this location. And by the way, the pavilion at this location is not just for the exclusive use of the polo club, but there are other events that happen out at those fields. We do have soccer tournaments. We have bluegrass out there. We'd expect other events that once you get this pavilion out there, it's a nice big open field that could be used for a number of different community-wide events through the Aiken Polo Club and the Whitney Trustees.
Go ahead, Steve.
I just want to make sure that paragraph 3 is, in fact, if the property is sold, that the people buying the property would still be bound by the agreement for the 25 years, etc. Is that what that says?
I'll let Mr. Ben Moore talk about that, but that is that's essentially what it's saying, yes.
While Ben's coming up, let me ask a question, too, on that number 3. Why is it such that they can sell this? If we are into a 25-year agreement here, why, and Ben, you can answer this. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't understand it, but this wasn't talked about before, I don't think, in any of our little discussions. Why is it that it can be sold if both parties agree to basically what we have here?
Basically, we can draw it up as the parties agree, and if both parties agree that it not be sold at all, that could be a term that we could do it that way. There's not a special legal reason it has to be there.
Well, I just, and maybe I'm missing, really missing something here, but if the city's going to expend all this money to build a pavilion and do these kinds of things, of course, the drainage is something else. I think, regardless, we want to do that and correct that. Why then could the trust turn around and sell it to someone else? Now, they would have to abide, as I understand it, as Steve was just bringing up, I think, they'd have to abide by the same agreement. But this thing could be sold several times, and no telling what could
it could be sold, but it couldn't be developed.
Right, I understand
and
that.
The way it's drawn up now, whoever was conveyed the interest would step into the shoes of the Whitney trustees and would have to abide by the same conditions and couldn't develop or subdivide the property. If council and Whitney trustees want to negotiate where it can't be sold at all, that's something, there's not a legal problem with drawing it up. That's really more of what the parties want to agree to. But legally, we could draw it up where it could not be sold at all. I don't know what the trustees' position is on that, or that's a term that can be negotiated.
We're talking about a partnership here to work together to do some things there that are going to make it nicer, obviously, for not only the city, because as Roger mentioned, we have a lot of events out there and they allow soccer and all kinds of things, but because they need it, the Whitney Trust needs it to be fixed up, obviously, as well. And so we've got a partnership of fixing it up, and then all of a sudden it's sold. It just, something doesn't sound right to me about it.
And this was added by the trustees, so maybe that question should be best posed to the trustees, not to Ben.
And maybe it's, you know, as long as the other party has the same rules here, perhaps it's not bad at all, but it just seems like, it seems at this point in time to me, I might be missing something here.
Good evening. Good evening. Tucker, representing the Whitney trustees, and when I say representing, I am one of the Whitney trustees, so I'm not here as their lawyer. But, Mayor, you bring up a good point. The answer to the question is we don't intend to sell it or change title to it. The trust has owned this property for 109 years, and it's certainly not our intention to convey title or transfer title within the next 25 or the next 50 or the next 75. The only reason that's in there is we don't know exactly what the future holds. And as Roger has already stated and Ben has stated in his comments, any transfer of title foreseen or unforeseen to another entity would be subject to this agreement. So it would just be a substitution of the ownership and not a substitution of the partnership to which you refer. I look at this as it's a restrictive covenant basically that runs with the land and is binding on the land for the term. It'd be no different than lots in Westcliff subdivision subject to the restrictive covenants of Westcliff, and if you sold your property, the next owner has the same set of restrictive covenants to abide by. So I assure you there is no intention or contemplation of ever selling this land, but we don't know what the future holds. And this trust, again, has been operating it for 109 years. But we felt it was important to have it in there as a point of flexibility, which is what this trust has been ever since 1901.
Sure. Sure.
But again, it wouldn't change a thing. It would just be a different owner. And it may be another trust or foundation or some other nonprofit charitable organization that would be the successor title, not necessarily sold for money.
I guess one of the differences would be that the city's done the work, put the money into it, and then someone else comes in and just takes over. But granted, this is accommodations money for those who may not know where that comes from. It comes from visitors staying in our hotels and motels and those kind of things. And it can only be used for certain tourism types of things. So,
but by the terms of the agreement, it cannot be subdivided. It cannot be developed. So anybody taking title as a successor in title would have to take it in essence in the same way that it is today and as it's improved by the improvements and repairs that we're talking about. So it's not in there as a throwing a monkey wrench in at the last minute. It's simply this is an assignment of the development rights and the subdivision rights, but it's not a prohibition against a transfer in title. Mm-hmm. Again, not contemplated, but
it could happen.
But it could happen. But if it could happen, it means that the successor in title is going to have to abide by the same rules and conditions.
Right.
So
right.
It would just be a different owner.
I don't think it'll happen.
And you're also going to have different trustees. Mr. Millen is here and Mr. Costigan, who are two of the other trustees. And the trustees have come and gone for 109 years.
Yes,
and we're simply the temporary stewards of the trust and the current nominal landowners. But we will have successors as time goes by as well. So, I mean, and not that that would be considered a conveyance, but there will be people coming and going all the time as trustees of the trust.
Right.
I have some concerns, and I need you to help me here.
Sure.
The events that are taking place, the polo, the soccer, the festivals, is there a charge for this?
Well, there is a charge.
Is it all free?
No, there's a Mr. Bostwick, I think, is here as the president of the polo club, but people are charged admission for admission to the polo games.
Okay.
The Bluegrass Festival, certainly there is a charge for admission to the Bluegrass Festival because it's a fundraiser for the Star Writing Program. The soccer tournaments, I'm sure there is an admission fee to play in the... No, well, I don't mean to exhibit, but there's probably a registration or some kind of thing that allows teams to participate in the soccer tournament. So there's usually some payment Is that?
You're answering me. Where I'm confused at, Mr. Mayor and Council, is how we make decisions on funding efforts. I support Whitney Field and what's being done here, but I'm getting a bit confused in terms of what we require titles for and what we don't. I'm looking at two previous requests with the railroad depot that we own, the culture center, which we are signing an agreement. We're not signing an agreement here, and that I can, I'm trying to understand that. I thought we were entering into an agreement to do some drainage, but there's a pavilion being built. And then I'm hearing that we're responsible for the upkeep, for the maintenance, and I'm not sure what are we agreeing on?
I think that's of the drainage only, is
Not building.
Is that right, Roger?
That's correct.
Replacing the outdoor railings and so forth. Is that an additional?
Only if they get disturbed during the construction.
Okay.
If you mentioned two projects, the African American Arts History and Cultural Center, mm-hmm. and the Railroad Depot, both of those they came before City Council and asked for accommodation tax money.
Okay.
There was no written agreement. There was no formal agreement. We just gave them the money.
Okay.
And so, at least in this particular case, in exchange for the accommodation tax money, they're making a guarantee that for the next 25 years, the property will not change in the form that it's in right now.
Okay.
It's not going to be sold off. The drainage, the reason we're saying that we're going to maintain it, is they're paying a drainage fee just like anybody else does. This is providing drainage for everybody in that entire area. Because if you go out in the Horse District area, it's just almost completely flat. There's no relief whatsoever. And so whatever water falls on that area, it pretty much stays in that area. And so therefore, we do get the flooding, and this will help. In essence, the ditches form detention ponds.
So how long have we allowed this to develop the state without?
Decades. I mean,
so we've
ditches
not given
have not been maintained for decades.
Okay.
I would imagine that once they get cleaned out, there's going to be very little maintenance on them.
I think it's important to realize that when this thing first surfaced, it was an outgrowth of concerns that some of the larger parcels in the Horse District were at risk. We were at risk possibly of losing them. And when we realized that there was some drainage work that needed to be done at that field, it seemed as though we might be able to accomplish two things at once. On the one hand, whatever we could to make sure that this large parcel in the Horse District remained a large parcel, and number two, in exchange for that, we would do some maintenance. I'd still like to know the total cost that the city's going to put into the project. But so unlike the African American Center and the Railroad Depot, which were capital projects, this is more of a maintenance type of thing, with the exception of the pavilion, and that's a lot fancier than I thought it would be.
Well, I have a question regarding how large is the pavilion? Does anyone know?
9,000 square feet.
I think it's safe to say Mr. LeDuc was very kind about that. I didn't see the plans until tonight, but there's no way you're going to build that for $120,000. And while it'd be a lovely thing to have, I pray that's going to have to go back to the drawing board. And on behalf of the trustees, I think $120,000 ought to do a nice job for whatever. It's just not going to be that what you have before you. So I wouldn't even pay any attention to the plan that you've seen.
I thought at one point we were talking about a scoreboard type of thing.
I don't know. That has not been part of my responsibilities. But I had not seen the plan tonight. But I guarantee you, that's a much more elaborate plan than what I guess I envisioned, and certainly I don't think it can be built for that amount of money.
Now,
so
we're saying we want to return to the 1930s look. Does anyone know what that? Anyone old enough to know what that looks like?
Councilman, Councilman Price, I can help you some. Working with Mr. Morris and Ms. Stoker, who is here in the audience tonight, we have a picture, a photo, aerial photo that we know is at least from 1935 or older, because it's in the book that someone wrote about Aiken, and we have copies of that. There were no trees at all then, and you can see the ditches. And
right.
Looking at the vegetation and the size of the trees, there's probably been no maintenance for 40 to 60 years.
Wow.
And I think it's easy to, looking at the pictures and what's out there, that, so the maintenance is probably very small for the next 25 to 50 years on the drainage, and I'm talking about the drainage.
Mr. Mayor, if I read your concern correctly, perhaps 25 years is, you may be concerned in what happens after 25 years. If, in fact, the Ms. Tucker says that the Whitney
trustees
have absolutely no intention of subdividing or doing anything, perhaps the agreement could be made up to, like, say, 50 years, and that way you would be a little bit more comfortable with the investment we're making with the pavilion and, well, the drainage is a done deal, but with the pavilion, perhaps that's something, or increasing the time.
Well, it just seems that the city, and we want to be partners, you know this, is putting money up front, doing these things, and then it could be sold for who knows how much. Perhaps the Whitney Trust is in a real problem and needs the money, and somebody comes along and wants to give it a whatever it's worth, you know, $500,000, $1 million or something. Who knows? And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we need to increase the number of years on the.
Well, I think, Mayor, if you add the additional language that's been suggested, that the city would have the first right of refusal on any sale of the property. To me, it's a circuitous route. You end up if the trustees determined that it was in the best interest of the trust to have to sell the property, we'd be coming back, if that language is in the agreement, we'd be coming back to the city and negotiating a sale. So you'd end up having title to the property. So seems to me you've eliminated your concern if you add the language in, which I believe, without having a meeting with the other trustees, that we'd be we'd have no objection to having that additional language put in there. So it would be the city would be the first grab at the rung, so to speak, in terms of
I would agree with you, unless the price goes real high and then we have to turn around and spend more money to buy back what we've already helped improve.
Mm-hmm.
And
I understand.
It's that kind of
well,
thing.
I think you could work out something where there's a pro rata credit maybe for the improvements that have been made on the property. That certainly would be a point of negotiation. So.
And certainly, Mr. Mayor, that's something that I'd like to see done. My concern initially, I definitely would like to enter into this agreement with the Whitney Polo Trust. My concern was spending $120,000 constructing the pavilion, and then if indeed in 25 years or within a certain time frame the city had first right of refusal, then having to pay for that pavilion, which we had already paid for. But if we could include wording in there that would allow us to pay for the going price of the land minus the addition of the pavilion, then we would not have to pay for that twice.
I think that's entirely reasonable.
And what about the investments we make now as far as taking care of the drainage and all that?
Beverly, that's something that the city's needed to do for some time. It's city property, and they've had a drainage problem for quite some time. We've just not addressed that.
I believe that we said it's going to take our staff 3 weeks to.
It probably going to take 4 to 6 weeks. I was just talking to Larry outside when I stepped out, because you had asked the question, what is that cost going to be? Except for any tree cutting that's going to need to be done out there, all the rest of the work will be done in-house with our labor and our equipment. So we could put a price on our labor and equipment if you wanted to, but there's not going to be a cost outside of the city of Aiken, because we're not going to hire it out to another contractor. And we're talking about up to 6 weeks worth of work to dig this out.
And Roger, you're saying that we have the equipment
yes.
in-house to do this?
Yes.
But this city manager is also going to benefit a lot of the residential properties.
The areas that the polo field gets flooded and they have to play games in other locations, but it's the residents who live surrounding this area that really are affected, because the polo is generally played once or twice a week during a spring and fall season. There's been many times where we've seen the boards that are around the tracks floating in people's backyards along Knox Avenue. So they're the ones that are really affected by the drainage system or lack of drainage system that we have out of that area.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, the other thing you have to consider is if this agreement is approved and it's recorded, it really has a dramatic impact on the marketability of this property. And you would be surprised that anybody would be willing to write a check for the amount of money that the Whitney trustees would need, you know, to sell this property, knowing that it's restricted in the way that it's restricted.
I think
it's a very unlikely scenario.
That would be my other point. It would have a chilling effect on the ability to sell it to anybody else. With that language in there.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that my original question was how long the property has been in the hands of the trust, and you said
1901. It was deeded by Mr. Whitney and some others in 1901.
It seems very unlikely that you would get a board that would all of a sudden just decide to go ahead and sell it.
We just need to keep picking good trustees mm-hmm. to follow us to be good stewards.
I would appreciate that, especially with the investment we have here.
Okay. Any other comments?
So you're saying to trust you?
Trust the trustees? Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Are we ready to approve this, or does it need some more?
Yes,
I think we need
staff.
Well, the what the changes that we have here would be under Part B, putting a limit of $120,000. Under Part C, talking about the fact that the railings would only be replaced if disturbed by the drainage work mm-hmm. or other work. Putting in item number 4. The fact that the city would have first right of refusal if there's a sale minus the cost of any improvements. And the only comment that we haven't discussed in greater detail was how you felt about, I know you'd like it longer, but is that going to be something that you would like to have in the thing in this agreement that would be more than 25 years, or is council satisfied with 25 years?
I think the comment that Don made.
Yes, I would like to see that added in there.
About reducing by the cost of the.
Yeah, that we could put in here.
Okay.
Is there a problem with getting it into a final format for our next meeting? Or?
Well, if those are the only changes you'd want, what I would suggest is we make the changes in the agreement, bring it back to you with this being item 1, and then item 2 being here's the. Changes in the budget that would also then need to be approved, saying here's what it's going to cost for drainage. Even if the drainage is done in-house, I'll get you a number of what our expenses would be, and then the $120,000 would be approved from the accommodation funds.
Okay. Sounds
so
like a winner.
And I think we have another speaker, Mr. Mayor.
Once we discuss all these changes, we'll go ahead and make those, let the trustees talk about it, and bring it back to you along with the budget change approval at the next meeting, so you'd have two items there back to back.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, before Mr. Stoker speaks, I think Councilman Clyburn mentioned it also, we need to be sure that the stormwater is a separate issue. It's tied into this, true, but regardless, the stormwater would need to be taken care of because of the other properties in the area.
Absolutely.
So we need to be sure and
absolutely.
Keep that in mind, and several people pointed that out already.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Dacre Stoker, 331 Kershaw Street. I'm representing the Aiken Land Conservancy as well as a person who lives in that neighborhood. And I want to thank you and the Whitney Trust for coming to the table. If you all recall, about a year ago, maybe more, we started addressing these large pieces of property in this area of town, which is vital to our character of the town as well as an industry that is, as the Chamber has showed you and USDA Aiken has shown you, is a $64 million industry in this county. So everything you're doing tonight, I applaud you for your efforts. The drainage is obviously critical. It's a pre-existing condition that needs to be taken care of. And also making sure that Polo continues to thrive in this part of the town. You've heard me say this before, so it's not going to come as a surprise. I am not in favor of having this agreement only for 25 years. The Land Conservancy generally works with a tool called a conservation easement, and there's many pros and cons of that. And we also work with something called permanent purchase of development rights, not just conditional ones or short-term ones. And I'd be concerned as you folks move forward and crossing your T's and dotting your I's. There are a number of other things in this contract that I looked at briefly today that make me feel that you would want to consider, if not 25, 50, or 75. I'm not exactly sure of the precedent, but when Councilman Price brought up the some of these other entities that have asked for local option sales tax monies, and Mr. City Manager, if you would correct me, please, is it not commonplace in some of these situations that you ask actually for a 99-year lease if the city doesn't own the property? Because I believe the depot that you talked about, you're actually inheriting that as your visitor center.
Correct.
And you're putting money into that, and therefore you know that that's going to be around for a while, and you've got control over that. And so here we are doing a good thing, helping this entity, the Whitney Trust. But as your attorney mentioned, nobody's going to really want to buy it with these encumbrances. Well, year 24 would be a pretty good deal if you can buy it on year 25 and do something with it in year 26. So I think we're on the right road. I did a little bit of number crunching myself because this is what we do with a land trust. You look at the development rights and you calculate that by how much the property is worth as is right now with present zoning, what they could do with it tomorrow if they wanted to without having to get any change. And they could sell that piece for, and this is an appraisal thumbnail only from a colleague of mine who's an appraiser. She had about half an hour to pull this off, but she used local comps in the area. It's worth about $2,046,000. If with an easement on it, that's permanent protection that could not be developed, the price drops to 60% of that. So 40% of that, in other words, if you wanted to buy those development rights from those people so they could never develop it, would cost you about $800,000. $800,000 forever. And then you would have a Whitney Trust, whomever they put on the board, are bound, just like I am as a trustee of the Hitchcock Woods. That can never change the Hitchcock Woods. We can manage it. We own it. We have a management plan that's been accepted by the Heritage Trust Program that allows us to do certain things ecologically, burning, thinning of trees, but no clear cutting, no development. So our hands aren't totally tied. So when you create an easement, you don't really encumber everything the owner can do. You just say you can't build on it. And I'm perplexed a little bit because a lot of these gentlemen are my friends that if they say they have no intention ever to build on it, then why don't they sell you the development rights? Mm-hmm. It makes good sense for that. And then possibly you guys need to look deeper in the pockets and say, well, is $800,000 over an awful long period of time? I don't know how you would generate that money, but it certainly wouldn't all have to be paid at once. But it could certainly help them run themselves, and you could pay some of that in the form of drainage work, building pavilions, doing other work that they may need over perpetuity. The Land Trust has started that type of a partnership very recently with you folks, the tune of a $10,000 partnership when you helped us with the Winthrop Polo Field right across the street from them. So far, we have started working on an agreement that we can bring to you that says we'll never develop our 12.3 acres, because we're sort of like them. We have got lots of land, but it's hard to get donations every year to trim up the trees and take care of it. So you've got a couple of really important pieces of property, and you're on the verge of doing something very special, which is either long-term, or my preference would be permanent protection, and seeing how we could keep this in the way it is, you know, in Aiken, and be very proud of it, along with some of the other things we've done recently. So I urge you to, as you go back to the drawing board, think beyond just the 25 years, and maybe look what it's worth to really help these folks do what they're doing and do very well in perpetuity. If you have any questions, I'll stay up a little longer.
Good points, Dacre.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Dacre. Any comments about anything that was said?
Well, I think we ought to at least discuss with the Whitney Trust their willingness to go a little longer than the 25 years, maybe solidify the numbers that Dacre spoke about. As he said, they came from about a 30-minute session, which is undoubtedly makes some rough numbers, but it might be worth looking at more specific numbers, more justified numbers, research numbers, if you would. And it probably would be worth it to, if that were not a possibility, to look at it at a longer time frame, as I think mm-hmm. Councilman Amoki was mentioning mm-hmm. earlier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are we going to do with this? What does council want us to look at besides the length of time? Now, the $800,000 is something that I don't know where in the world. I'm not a pessimist normally, but coming up with $800,000 to buy the property or
well, is it open? You. Is it open space? Is that in the category, Roger, of open space?
I mean, certainly, if council would want to get a conservation easement, Whitney Trustees would have to agree to that. Number one,
sure.
You can't just. And if they were agreeable, we do have the money available to go ahead and do that through our open space funds. We have $1 million right now set aside within that account. So, I mean, if that's what council would like, then we'd go back to the drawing table and talk to them about a possible conservation easement. We could talk to them about a longer time commitment, whatever council would like.
Mr. Mayor, I would like that if that's what the majority of council want. I would not be in disagreement with that. But I am concerned about spending most of our money in one area. That would take up 8/10 of what we have set aside. And maybe my concern would be that leaves us very little to go elsewhere with open land. Okay. So, you know, I don't know. But I am not opposed to...
May I respond to that? I misspoke. I'm not suggesting you pay them $800,000 in one shot. This would be a deal where you could attain what they want right now, and you can pay this over a long period of time. I think they would maybe love an $800,000 check, and they could live off an annuity. But, you know, that's not feasible for you. But if this is something that they're agreeable to this long term, then work out a deal where they get you know, a little bit along and along and along. We're talking perpetuity, folks. So you mm-hmm. could put it into your budget. You can put it in your open space budget. And they could have the improvements they need, but also a little bit of cash on the same side as it's an annuity to keep them going as well. So I don't mean to strap your hands with one big draining of the open space funds in one year.
Okay. The other thing is that the estimate of the value of the property is a... I guess one estimate of what it's worth at this time in the shape it's in, but we'll see how it goes with you.
If I may respond, I guess I want to thank Dacre for upping the ante on the dollar amount. I guess that pavilion might be back on the table as it is. But the quick answer to the threshold question about why not a longer period of time and why not a conservation easement is simply that there is not a consensus among the five active trustees about doing a conservation easement. Just to give you a little history, Mr. Moore was the creator of the original first draft of the document. And then we sat down and talked with the city manager and Ben and the assistant city manager and Larry Morris. And there were some concerns expressed about what conservation easements entailed. I certainly am not scared of them, but there are some strings that sometimes are attached, and that needs to be addressed. And actually, the title of the current document was given to me by Dacre, and that is an assignment of development rights, which I think is more specific as to what it really is doing. It's not changing the title or anything other than giving up and forfeiting for a fixed period of years the rights to subdivide or develop the property. So I think some of these ideas that have been expressed tonight that are worth further study, and if there is an open space fund that would provide ongoing support. I know that there are going to be repairs needed to the barn that are down at the east end of the property. In fact, we had talked about that and maybe coming back and amending this agreement at some later date and then putting maybe an additional period of time on it for that. In other words, sort of an ongoing document. But if we want to look at maybe increasing that in exchange for some additional funding and maybe doing it over a period of time, I think the trustees would be willing to discuss that. So, but I think we probably need to, because of the time constraints and the period of time that the between polo seasons and the summertime, we can't dilly-dally too long on embarking on these drainage improvements. I think there's a sensitive time frame for that. So, but I would certainly leave open the door to discussing these things further and perhaps having a more comprehensive agreement that would take care of some other things.
We originally, when we talked to the trustees, talked about a conservation easement. And we knew that the immediacy was the drainage work. But we also knew that there were several of the barns out there that are in major disrepair, and that that's going to need some work in the very near future. And therefore, we were hoping on coming back at a later time with another agreement that either extended the period of time, the number of years, or looked at this conservation easement in a different way, and included some work with the barns. So again, we are just trying to get something so we get the drainage work done, again, so we could go get started on it. We have a window of time of June, July, and August, essentially, to get the drainage work completed. Once you get beyond that period of time, then you start entering into the polo season, and we feel we could have 6 weeks worth of work, and we start running into some problems that could also extend to a longer period. Or if you got into a very wet season or rainy period of time, of course, that would delay the progress we would make. That's the only immediacy that we have here in trying to get this agreement agreed to. If you want to agree to something and then we leave off the pavilion and come back with something at a later date, we could certainly look at that. But again, we're here to, this is why it's before you tonight, for discussion purposes, to get us moving forward.
Why can't we go ahead with the drainage? We're going to do that anyway.
Yes, I was going to suggest the drainage is
what's the hold up?
A separate issue, and I would was going to make a suggestion that the city manager could ask Mr. Marsh to go ahead and make that plan up for us, and so maybe we could have a preliminary plan in the works anyway to do this, because you're going to do it one way or the other, whether this goes through or not, because of the area drainage. And I would think that would be something we would want to at least get the paperwork done, so to speak. And this is a maintenance. This is not new. This is maintenance.
Yeah, it's a little bit beyond maintenance because it's just been so long. But it, in essence, there is a drainage system out there now. It's just quite ineffective.
I agree. And we do have photographs showing the original, so we have to be careful with our good federal agencies how we treat it.
Yeah. But again, that doesn't tie in necessarily. Yeah,
my sense is that we ought to at least have some more discussions with the Whitney Trust and see what they bear. I mean, that doesn't hurt to discuss. And again, as long as we move ahead with the drainage, which is just about a separate issue, but we ought to at least meet with the Whitney Trust folks, and because it sounds as though it's a win-win situation if we can come to the right terms.
Yeah, but we have to come up with a sense of what the council wants. I mean, the Whitney Trust can meet as much as they want to. If they don't realize the direction we'd like to go, they may be going in an opposite direction. Well, I think it's incumbent on us to figure out exactly what our intentions are, what are the possible results, and then let them know and let them discuss some facts instead of just deliberating for the sake of deliberating.
Well, I thought we conveyed our intentions when we had our first meetings. We want the property to be preserved as open space.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the ultimate.
Some of us think 25 years is fairly short. See,
Well, yes, but that's what I'm saying. We'll talk with the Whitney Trust folks. We'd like it forever. I like Mr. Stoker's idea, as long as financially we could swing it, and as long as the Whitney Trust folks would be willing to work it, and we won't know that until we talk to them. But I think the ultimate goal is the preservation of a large space in the horse district to preserve our culture.
Well, perhaps we should have an offline meeting with the
With the trust. Would council like to have a session scheduled just for this subject between council talking with Whitney Trust and, of course, anyone else that chooses to come?
This subject. Were you and Roger part of the meeting with the?
Yes.
Why would we not want to have you folks continue to meet it?
I'm asking the question.
Okay.
How does council want to handle the getting further information and discussing it?
I'd like to be a part of it because I'm hearing more and more things that need to be done. I'm hearing right now that we have some possibly concerns about the barns there. So I'd like to hear more about what is actually needed.
I think this is a major step, and I think we all want it to take a major step, but we want to make sure that we can all agree that we're doing the right thing, certainly. So I think all of council ought to be involved if council wants to be involved.
I have no objection. But
I just want to say that while I may not necessarily want to be involved in the deliberations with the Whitney Trust, I would like to convey that I think our original intent ought to be worked with and not be made a part of deliberations as far as what we need to do for storm drainage. I think I agree with Mr. Ebner that we need to go ahead and pull that out. And then as far as the conservation easement, I like the idea of doing that, but if they don't want to do that, I don't want that to interfere with what we need to do with the property right now.
Well, what I'm hearing is that there may be other requests, and my thought process is I need to know before we go beyond the storm drainage what else is needed there and everything on the table. So I'm not sure if we have all that with different items being
I think the comment, if I understood it in context with relation to the barn, was the fact that we need not pay the entire upfront cost to preserve the development rights in perpetuity, that we could do that on a regular basis, so much a year for so many years, and that would allow the trust to use some of that money to maintain the barns, repair the barns, and so forth. I'm not sure that there was a sense that because we entered this agreement, now the city has to take care of the barns. I think it was that the
trust, and that says we are because we're paying them with these trust funds to do that.
Yes, I understand, but that's up to them, the timing and the scope of the repair and so forth. But a work session would be fine with me. It would help define the issue for those of us that still have questions.
I didn't get the sense that I believe I heard Roger say this did come up in the discussions earlier, and I don't get the sense that the trust was leaning toward doing that, but maybe I misunderstood what was said.
I'm not sure I understand what you're suggesting we're leaning it for or against. We renamed it from a conservation easement and withdrew the references to the South Carolina Conservation Easement Act and retitled it as Assignment of Development Rights. But the essence of the agreement was pretty much the same. It was just changing some of the wording and getting rid of the references to the statute. So it's forfeiting or giving up for a set period of years the rights to do anything with the property, which is no different than a restrictive covenant or in the essence a conservation easement. But
what I'm saying is that I didn't get the feeling that you were willing to go past.
Well, the 25 years was sort of a negotiated number.
Okay.
What we understood from the representatives of the city was the longer the period of time, the more we're willing to commit resources to the improvements and repairs to the property. I mean, that's the quid pro quo of the whole deal. And the 25 was sort of a negotiated number. There's a feeling among some of the trustees that we just, they have a hard time being totally bound forever. They want to preserve some degree of flexibility. But again, it was...
That's what I picked up.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you said.
But it's, you know, I think each of us probably has a different degree of what where we are on that. So I think perhaps a work session with the entire council is would be welcome. Certainly speaking for myself, I have no problem with that. I think it would be...
That would be good, I think. How many of council would like to be involved in discussion with the trust?
If you set it up, I'll try to be there.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll set up a separate meeting, and Bill and whoever, get with Roger. Roger, get with you to set up a time, and we'll see what works out for everybody.
We appreciate it.
I think, Bill, what you said was absolutely true. We sat in the meetings, and we thought, you know, 25 years sounds good. What made me think a little bit more was when I heard about the selling, the possibility of selling the property, which I didn't think about, and I don't think that we mentioned it.
It was not in the original agreement.
It was not.
No.
It was not in the original agreement. So I think that is a concern. It's still a little bit of a concern to me, and perhaps some others as well. So I think that's something we'll want to talk about a little bit further.
Okay.
In a meeting, but if the trust is willing to get together, certainly.
Again, the trustees felt that it was important to have some degree of flexibility, and it didn't mean that the terms of engagement, so to speak, would change at all for that 25-year period. It would just mean that there might be a different title holder to the property for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, as we discuss, you know, we are here to serve our citizens and try to do the best we can with whatever money that comes into the city, and we end up spending.
I would say at 109 years, we probably get the award for probably the longest holding singular title of about anybody in town.
Well,
so.
We might, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Was
Bill,
that agreeable?
Bill, I must ask this question, and I know the answer already, but I'm going to ask just for the record. Is the trust in sound financial status?
The trust is a land holder. It is a title holder of real estate. It has no other assets. It's not a foundation with an endowment or we have a small amount of cash in a checking account and probably a CD, but we are not cash wealthy. We have no investments. We have no endowment. So that's why the trust is simply we hold legal title for the benefit of these sporting events and traditions in Aiken, per the terms of the 1901 deed that conveyed the original parcels of property. And the original parcels were this property that we're talking about tonight and the Palmetto Golf Club. The Palmetto Golf Club is owned by the trustees, leased to the club, which is a separate corporation.
Okay.
And we have a 50-year lease with the golf club with a 25-year renewal option. So it's a long-term commitment there. And now the Aiken Tennis Club was subsequently conveyed in the 1930s into the trust. But the tennis club as a club operates that property. So we basically are the stewards of the properties. We hold legal title as the successors in title from the original trustees in 1901. We're just part of the long line of trustees, and we will eventually pass that baton on to somebody else, other people. But no, the answer is we are not. We do not have
cash
resources.
Okay, but enough to maintain the property and those upkeep and those kinds.
Well,
of things.
No, it's not enough to maintain or upkeep the property. It's enough to it, you know, we have a little bit of cash sitting around to pay the taxes or emergency repairs. But each organization that operates on those properties needs to be able to self-sustain it because the trustee has no independent source of income. We're not doing car washes and bake sales and
those things.
Taking in laundry. I mean, it is. We are simply
holders of the
holders
paper.
Of legal title.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate all your work on this and the trustees as well. And we'll get there, that's for sure.
Again, the only urgency that we see is the drainage. If council has no problem with it, what I would like to do is at the next meeting, which would be 2 weeks from now, is bring you back a plat or a drawing showing you what we're going to do, an estimate of what our in-house costs would be. I don't think they're going to be much higher than $25,000, and that's assuming our labor and use of our trucks, to do the drainage. And then we have a little bit of time then to go ahead and work on the rest of the agreement. And just so you know, we've been working on this for, when I talked to Dacre earlier today, he reminded me, I thought it's only been months, but it's really been, we've been working on this for probably 2 or 3 years now, trying to work out some agreement, meeting with Woody Millen and Warren Shear on this field and a number of issues. So if we wait another few weeks, it's not going to hurt us to get the right agreement, because I think that's what we would like to do, is get something long-term. Again, basically what we were had here in this agreement was 25 years for about $120,000. With the idea that we'd come back at a later time, probably with the barns and some other issues, but maybe we could tackle it all at one time. So we will come up with a few dates. I'll check with Mr. Tucker and get back with City Council at the next meeting on a couple of possible dates to meet with the Whitney Trust and bring back the drainage at the next meeting. Is that all agreeable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Under new business, the first item is approval of the deed of dedication for sanitary sewer lines located in the village of Woodside Wellness and Medical Center Phase 2. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes. And just one last thing on that item. This, the final agreement we come up with is really critical, because that, again, will be the framework that we'll use, hopefully, for other agreements that we'll have on property in the horse district, these large tracts as we discussed in the past. So once you get one, it becomes a little bit easier than on the next ones. So I just wanted to add that in there. The next item is we do have a sewer line in the village at Woodside, which serves the Wellness and Medical Center. The line has been completed. It's in operation. We don't find any deficiencies. And so we are recommending that council accept the deed of dedication for sanitary sewer lines located in the village of Woodside and the Medical Center Phase 2.
Okay. Do we have a motion and a second for approval?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? All in favor?
Beverly?
Sewer line.
She's advising that she's, are you on the board of Aiken Regional?
Yes.
Oh, and if, okay. If this property is owned by Aiken Regional, she's associated with it, so she's recusing herself of voting on
okay.
the ticket.
So it's unanimous among those who could vote. Okay.
One moment. Is the this owned by Aiken Regional? I don't think so. It's not signed by them. It's signed by Rick Steele.
It's difficult for me to answer a question at the last minute. I'm not sure how they may be affiliated with Aiken Regional.
The sewer line serves the medical center, which is probably owned by Aiken Regional, but the sewer line is owned by the developers within that area. They're the ones that put it in. I mean, you could find the path across the two areas, but the sewer line is done by the developer. What it serves is a totally different situation. But whatever the legal mind would say.
Well, whatever.
And
whatever
the sewer line feels. And the sewer line becomes the property of the city and is operated by the city up until the property line of that entity. We had that a couple of years ago with Mr. Kishner was here. So.
Well, certainly, if Beverly feels there's a conflict, or maybe even
I'm not willing to take the chance.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, it passes 7-0.
Six to zero.
Okay. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to set the millage rate for the fiscal year 2010 through 2011. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance to provide for the levy of taxes for ordinary city purposes and for capital development purposes in the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2010. Set the millage thereafter at 66 mils to provide for the expenditure thereof. In this particular situation, we're setting the millage rate, and then the next item would be the approval of the budget itself. There are no increases whatsoever in the budget over last year as far as major projects that would affect the millage rate. The millage rate was set about 3 years ago by City Council, And so we're going to maintain that at the 66 mills. Just as a little bit of background, this is 22 years in a row that the city has not raised the millage rate. In fact, it has decreased several times from 120 mills at one time down to 66 mill, or a total decrease of 45%. And we always talk about that in one context. The other context I'd just like to raise up is that, meanwhile, the federal and the state government has reduced the amount of revenue we're getting in over the last few years, and a few years ago it was also the telecommunications was reduced and the vehicle taxes as what was approved by the voters. I always say that tell us what the rules are of the game and we'll play the game. Just don't keep changing the rules as we go along. And sometimes the rules change with the state and federal government on a pretty consistent basis. But given all that, the city council has diligently worked to keep the millage where it's at and keep the taxes low, and so we're happy to do so again this year. And so for your consideration, this is first reading of an ordinance setting the millage rate for year 2010-2011 at 66 mills.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I move for approval of the ordinance to set the millage rate for fiscal year 2010-2011 at 66 mills, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Pass it unanimously. I'd like to, on behalf of the council, and thank our city manager and our management team, our finance team, and everyone that works together to make this possible, employees as well, that we have not had to have a property tax millage increase. We're fortunate, very fortunate. We're one of a few cities that continue to have some growth every year, and it's been pretty steady. Last couple of years, it hadn't been as steady as it had been, but that helps us a great deal. But still, we have a good staff, and they find ways to do certain things differently to save money as well. So that's just part of the overall complex budgeting system. But we thank everyone that works on it and council as well for what we've been able to do over the years. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Show of hands. Passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance approving a budget for fiscal year 2010-2011. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll begin to read this by title. It's an ordinance adopting a budget proposed by the city manager containing estimates of proposed revenue and expenditures by the city of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning 2010 to 2011, July 1. Ending June 30th, 2011, declaring that the same shall constitute the budget of the city of Aiken for such fiscal year. We met last Monday, went through the budget, spent several hours talking about it. Just a couple of highlights here. Everything that we've been comparing ourselves to is during the when the economic times were a lot better, 2007-2008 budget, to this particular budget here. There are several reductions that we have seen since that time. Our building permits are down 55%, which amounts to about $150,000 loss, although we're starting to see an improvement here. 35% reduction by the state, amounting to about $240,000 loss. Probably the biggest area is in our interest. Just a few years ago, interest rates were up at 4 or 5%. Now we're at less than 0.5%. And this is investing in a larger size pool where you think you'd even get more money. That amounts to a loss of $380,000 in this year's budget. The difference between that budget and where we are today is we're still down about 1% from what we were 2 years ago. We've suspended several items. Last year, this year, we have added in a lot of capital that we didn't spend last year. 13 new police vehicles, some self-breathing apparatus that the firemen use when they go into buildings, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it adds up to $150,000. An aerial truck, some solid waste equipment, security cameras at Smith Hazel and at Odell Weeks. And altogether, We have fully funded all of our depreciation for vehicles and equipment, which we didn't do last year. The only area that we have not fully funded this year was on building depreciation. That's about $150,000 that we're not funding in this year's budget that we still have to figure out for next year. We do need to look at how do we go ahead and fund that area. The budget does reflect a grant that allows us to fill in three vacant positions that we had in public safety. The question came up, well, at the end of that three-year period of time, the grant says that you need to maintain these individuals. Well, I can tell you in the next 3 years, we have 10 public safety officers that are on the retirement program. In other words, they signed already saying that within a five-year period of time, they plan on retiring, and according to our ordinances, they do need to retire. So we will have vacancies in the next several years to absorb these individuals if that's going to be the case. Or it may be the case that we will find out that we're starting to grow again and we're needing more public safety officers. We'll have to take a look at that on a year-by-year basis in the budget. I looked at the fact that the personal property tax is up. We're up around $300,000 than what we were just a couple of years ago. So although it's a much slower and smaller growth every year, we are seeing an increase in our property taxes coming in. And we do have in here a 1% increase for all of our full-time and part-time employees. Inflation last year, according to the records, was around 2.7%. This year it looks like it's going to be around 2%. But we had a 5% increase in our health insurance costs to our employees. And for a large sector of our number of employees, the 1% increase that we had this year was totally eaten up by the 5% increase in health insurance. Do we need a health insurance increase next year? We are looking at that later in the year as we go through it. Meeting tomorrow with our individual who runs our health system through the state municipal association, and he'll be talking to us a little bit more about that. We still have within the budget funding for the various outside agencies that we've had in the past, ADDA, the Friends of the Library, the Best Friends Express. By the way, since that came up with Rosman McDuffie and the Council on Aging, we looked at the line item. It still says Council on Aging. We're changing that to Best Friends Express because that really more identifies where the money is going to pay for the bus system, which is now currently with the Council on Aging. I mean, the local government government that we have here, and not the Council on Aging. The
Lower Savannah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Come over. And I might point out, Roger, it's for the library, not for the Friends of the Library.
Okay. That's yes. Yeah. Thank you. And then the EDP, that's Fred Humes and his group that does recruiting for industry. And we have money in the budget for the Child Advocacy Center and Covey Center at $9,000. This year we're giving them $6,500, so that is an increase for the both of them. We have a number of projects, especially studies that we're doing on roadways. We feel that if we don't plan for the roadways in the future, we're going to be facing some of the difficulties we're facing on the south side, which basically is saying that Doherty Road is the only east-west connector between Silver Bluff and Whiskey Road. And we don't want that to happen on the north side. So we're looking right now as to what needs to be done. From the 1 cent sales tax, we do have several water and sewer projects that are anticipated, mobile bleachers, capping of our landfill, looking at other ways to reduce stormwater into Hitchcock Woods, the walking trails, restrooms over at Citizens Park, street resurfacing, sidewalks on Whiskey Road, and we'll start looking also at where should the splash park be going, possibly doing the engineering and planning for that for next year. The goals that you set are in the budget, and we feel we've met most of those. Richard Pierce has been working very closely with me this year. Last year, Richard worked with me on the utility budget. This year, he worked on the general fund to get a good handle of it, and I'd really appreciate his help, Kim Abney's help, and all the other department heads, because without them, the budget wouldn't be where it's at. They worked hard because they had to take several cuts in some areas to get the budget where it's at. When we look at this, although the budget's up slightly from what it was last year, most of that is because of the grants that we got on the public safety officers, the fact that our fines and forfeitures are up, and the fact that the grant that we had with the highway traffic enforcement officers, those the ones in the black vehicles, ended this past year. There are no other increases. We did have an increase on the commercial garbage, which we discussed a couple of months ago. Water and sewer, as you well know, last meeting. And so there are no other increases, and the budget, as we stated earlier, would be still at 66 mills. So we're happy to present this to you tonight, and this is the first reading of an ordinance to approve the budget for the City of Aiken for fiscal year 2010-2011.
Thank you, Roger, very much. Is anyone in the audience who would like to have any comments on the budget? Okay, I will call for a motion and a second then from council.
Mr. Mayor,
we can discuss it.
Move that we approve this budget for fiscal year 2010-2011. With the first reading.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
I'll vote to move it to second reading, and as many of you know, I have concerns. It's a business-as-usual budget, and I hope none of the bad things that could happen in the state happen. I hope the fuel prices stay okay. I hope the state can somehow survive the loss of stimulus money, all of the financial disasters that the politicians are promising us, but I'll support going to second reading.
Okay, Dick, thank you.
And let me make a comment on that. You know, several things could happen in our economy. We saw just last week where the stock market dropped by over 10% within just a few hours. We see a whole entire country over in Europe that's in major trouble. And so if we see some major issues that come up that we're not aware of, or that we're not anticipating, and that certainly could always happen, we may need to sit down 3 months from now or 6 months from now and make some radical changes within the budget. And certainly we would be prepared to do so if necessary. This is based on projections that the economy is better. It's not great. Going back to the 2007 time period when we had 700 building permits, I believe someday we may see that again, but we're not talking about a recovery like you've seen in the past downturns. This is going to be a slow recovery, and it's going to take several years for us to get back to where we once were. And so, you know, I don't think you'll see the rapid changes like you've had in the past. But again, if something major does happen, we will be prepared to sit back down with City Council and to deal with it.
I have one other question, Roger, and I don't know how to answer it. But our budget is complicated when we try to compare this year to last year, because we put the penny sales tax in it, we put grants in it, and so forth, which makes it almost impossible to compare to previous years. Is there a way of putting together a municipal budget where you put the penny sales tax, the capital projects in a separate area, and the grants in a separate area?
That is why we try to compare the general fund budget and the utility budget without the capital improvements in it. Mm-hmm. And we compare that for the last 5 years, because that does tend to be more apples to apples, instead of trying to mix in some years when you'd have a lot of loss fund money or other capital money that would make some radical changes. That does not take into account for the grants. Now, we could always look at it and try to take those out.
But some of the capital improvements belong here. I mean, the ones that we budget for. But the capital improvements that come from the penny sales tax can tend to confuse a comparison between years.
And that's why they're not in the general fund. They're a separate line item or a separate category under. They were approved by the voters.
Yes.
So again, they're going to be done eventually. It's just a matter of when they get done.
And hopefully, I would reiterate that we can get started on the budget earlier next year. Getting started first, we had the work session in late April. It's kind of late to take a good hard look at it. So I'd like to suggest that we do some, whether we start in February or whether we start in November, I'd like to look at some zero-based budgeting next year. So
we can certainly do that.
Okay.
Do that. Any other comments? If not, we've got a motion and a second. If not, a show of hands, approving first on first reading. Passes unanimously. Okay. Item 4, approval of date for meeting with the small businesses. Mr. LaDuke.
At the budget meeting, it was brought up the fact that there were some small businesses, and again, I can't tell you if there's a half a dozen, a dozen, two dozen that have concerns. I'm sure there's a lot of them that have concerns. You know, anytime you're in an economy where businesses are struggling, they tend to have more concerns than when the economy is going very well. And obviously there's a lot of companies are out there or businesses out there that at this point in time they are struggling. We did hear from Katie Liscomb, who is here. A couple weeks ago, Beth Nicholson was also here a couple weeks ago, and a few others when Ashley Landris discussed business licenses and our budget with us, and they would like to have a meeting with us. I know that for a period of time they were meeting with the chamber on a small business forum, and so I'm sure the chamber is going to want to be involved with this meeting at some point. Some of these are members of the chamber, some are not members of the chamber. I talked to Katie and to Beth last week, sat down with them, I think it was the day after we met, and they would like to still meet at 8:30 in the morning to about 10 prior to them going to work. So obviously there's a beginning time and an end time because they have to open up their businesses. And we came up with three possible agenda items. Should City Council develop a small business committee similar to like the Arts Committee or some something like the Equine Committee, Council could begin by developing a task force or a focus group. We could get a facilitator to go ahead and to facilitate that group. The one thing I don't think Council wants, and they don't want either, but it could get into a griping type session if we're not careful, and so we need to be very focused, and so it might involve having a facilitator once Council meets them initially to find out, you know, how can we help them and how do we focus any help that we're going to have. So that's one thing they want to talk about. Second thing is, could the city or some entity develop a small business district or area councils or something of that degree? And again, that's been successful at times. What tends to happen is it starts off, and after a period of time, whether it be a few seasons or a few years, the interest wanes, and then they kind of go away. So we've been able to successfully have that happen, though, with our neighborhood association. Again, it's a little bit different than the businesses, but again, Council might want to consider doing something like that, or maybe the chamber could go ahead and have more of an area council type of a concept. And the last thing was, of course, they're very interested in possible ways that we could financially help them, whether it be through facade grants, shop Aiken advertising, landscaping, or there could be a variety of possibly other ways where the city would go ahead and set aside so much money in the budget to help with support the businesses locally, especially the small businesses. So those are three of the items they would like to get started on. I would doubt at the first meeting whether you'd get more than one or two items completed. And so if Council is prepared to do this, then we're probably talking about not just one meeting, but a series of meetings at 8:30 in the morning. To Tonight, we'd like to set up that first meeting, though, and then we could take it from there and see where and what council may want to do. I know they originally said that they wanted to meet quarterly. I do know that when they were working with the chamber on the smaller level, they met several times over a few months period of time trying to discuss issues. And again, there are so many different competing entities as what they wanted to do that they couldn't bring it all together into one package. So they're open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday at 8:30. And so it's just a matter of when council would like to do that. And so I ask that you bring your calendars tonight to look at that, to set that up.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Does anyone have a date in mind for our first get-together? I think also we need to define, and perhaps we'll do that at that meeting too, what is a small business? I think it needs to be clear what we're talking about. Well, that's one thing we need to do. There's several others, but that's one thing came to mind. Does anybody have a date? Did they offer a date?
No, they're open to going on any date council so chooses.
Is a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, perhaps Friday, isn't a good date?
How about the 19th? That's 10 days away.
That's a Wednesday.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to be out of town that day.
Okay.
I have a doctor's appointment.
So much for the 19th.
and understand, we may not get all seven folks here.
Yeah. Right.
About the 20th. The mayor will still be out of town.
Probably the mayor would chair.
You'll be out of town on the 20th?
I'll be coming back.
Okay.
No, I'll be in town on the 20th, but I've got something else on my calendar.
The chamber has their board meeting that morning, so that would probably not be a good morning.
Okay.
Because I know they'll probably want to have some folks here.
Not that I want to delay it, but I'd like to see it maybe the first week in June, early in June.
That would work better for me.
What about the first Wednesday morning in June?
It's fine with me.
That's June 2nd.
That'd be June 2nd.
Yep.
Correct. June 2nd, 8:30 a.m.
Okay, that's a Wednesday, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right, right up here.
Right up here, we'll advertise it to let people know that we're having this meeting. So you might get 5 people or 50 people. We don't know.
Now, was it their suggestion at 8:30?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm just thinking earlier would probably be better for them.
They said 8:30 because school kids and getting kids to different places.
And where are we going to have this meeting?
I was planning having it up here in the council chambers.
Okay.
Unless you all think of a better place.
Nope.
No.
Well, we could set up the table out there so that it's maybe more friendly arrangement, like we've done before for different meetings. I've been thinking, as it comes, of course, we'll talk about these things, but why wouldn't we want to maybe set up a meeting like we do our other committees and have representatives from each of us, and then others could come to them like happens in the other committees, and talk.
And that's what
rather than have a huge group of people that come together and talk and try to do things.
And that's the arts committee concept. And you could even have, if you wanted to, representatives that you pick out from different areas of the city or size of the businesses or types of the businesses. So at least we get a cross-section of places, geographical places, and size of business or types of businesses.
Yeah.
But again, that's
sure. That's to be discussed.
So you need like a plenary session where everybody's in on it, and then if you want to do breakouts, that would be the ideal venue to set up breakouts.
But our other committees work well, And
I like the idea of a small business council. A panel of small business people.
It could be a small business committee or whatever you want to call it.
Could
operate like our others. They could have their
facilitators, and
they could elect their own chair and that kind of thing, and then then others could come to them with their thoughts. And again, you wouldn't be dealing with necessarily with a whole group of people.
And again, you could have different people representing different sectors, and I mean, you could even have the chambers one group. I don't, you know, again, each however you want to do it.
And if you think maybe seven people is not enough, we could have two each. It could be 14. It could be a group of 14.
Good idea.
But anyway, we can discuss that when we all get together. But, okay, we've got the day, huh?
Okay.
Now, we have two other... Dick wanted to bring up commercial.
Yeah, I just wanted to raise the issue. I noticed in our public services monthly report that we lost 50 customers in commercial garbage. And I've asked the question before, and I've just forgotten the answer. Is there a magic number where you're going to come back and say it's economically not viable to keep going?
We're up to 59 as of today.
59. And do you have a number at which point we want to consider whether we want to continue to do it without losing money?
Right now, we've lost 59. We know that when we get to probably 25-30%, we can start dropping off one of the vehicles. We're looking at how do we drop overtime right now, because again, it's Monday through Saturday type of operation. Right now, we're back to losing money again because we lost 59 customers at how many thousands of dollars that is. So we were planning on coming back to you sometime during the summer once it's stabilized, and we may have to have another rate increase if that's the case, if you want to break even.
All right, but you're monitoring it then?
Every week they're giving me a report now.
Okay.
And this past week, it was a good week. We only lost two people this past week.
Okay.
So
at what point, and I think this gets to Dick's point too here, at what point do we say, hey, this is it? We've lost enough. Let's just do what we need to do to get rid of that commercial garbage. Maybe if it's outside of the downtown area, maybe we'd elect to keep that.
That was our recommendation to you few months ago.
Well, I know that, and we agreed to keep going for a while and see what happened, and now we see what's happening. And
the choice is always between another rate increase for discontinuing the service. It's always going to be between those.
If you do that, you're going to lose more customers.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's going to keep going like that, I think. I think we probably will.
We heard from a few customers. They were downtown. And I think if council wants to go ahead and continue to serve some or all the people downtown, we can come up with a plan to do that. And come up with whether it's partial roll carts. Well, right now some of them are roll carts, some of them are dumpsters, but we could come up with a plan of action to do that, because that seemed to be the sentiment, that the downtown special, it's a different type of a service. Not that cleanup of the dumpsters is not important at other locations, but in the downtown, because the buildings are so close together and because you do have a lot more traffic that's on foot, odors and other things that are associated with a garbage system are more important. And so we could come up with that system. But it's really up to council as to how much is too much.
Well, how many customers do we have now?
327, I want to say. We lost 59 customers since we started.
So we had 320.
We had 380, 390, okay, somewhere in that frame. And before that, again, we've been losing customers ever since we said that we were no longer going to be a monopoly. And council made that decision 8-9 years ago that we weren't going to be a monopoly and we'd let other people come in. And they cherry picked the best ones. And so they got the ones who were easier to negotiate and to work with. But we have probably lost 50-60% of our business in the last 9 or 10 years.
Roger, this morning I saw about 15-20 of the roll cars in the median on Newberry Street.
And Tyler was
Tyler, there. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they roll in the middle and then they pick them up in a central location. Is that?
That was because of the lobster race.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
we discussed this at the first reading and second reading. We put some guidelines in the minutes at the time, not in the ordinance, but in the guidelines about there's five or six customers downtown that Roger just alluded to. So they were here at the meeting and spoke, and I think we've got a program for that once we end it. But we talked about this particular block here.
And we can expand it out to a larger area of the downtown
if
business.
Needed to be.
You know, again, we have some options if that's what council wants to do.
Still.
We didn't answer your question, though, when.
No, that's right. That's right. I think we need something, and council can't decide that. We need some good expertise to decide, okay, what is the crucial point here? When should we do this and not let it get any worse? Maybe there's a time period. Is it 300 customers? When you get down to 300, 250, or I don't know.
Mr. Mayor,
you want to Larry, would you like to address that or not? We need help is what we need to do. Really serious. This is a serious thing because if we're losing money every day, some money every day, certainly we've got to stop it somehow.
We know that when we hit 30% loss of our customers, we're going to have to drop a truck. Right now, out of 59, roughly, we are close to 20%. A little over 20%. So we're getting very close to having to drop one truck, one employee, one route. As Mr. LaDuke says, we're losing money again already. At the rate that we're losing, I would say in the next month to 2 months, we're going to be above the 30% loss rate. We need to look at it very, very hard. If we, as you say, down to 300, that's not quite 30%, but we need to be looking at service very hard at that point. We're going to have to come back to you at that point to either raise a rate, as Mr. LaDuke said, or we need to go ahead and drop the service except for the critical downtown area. And that was the discussion that we had at the last meeting. And we're certainly ready to present a program to maintain the downtown area. I believe there were like 11 different spots that we have in this immediate area that we needed to service and, you know, to keep the downtown with a very high level of service. So to answer your question, it's going to be sooner rather than later. And when I say sooner, probably sometime late June, maybe early July even, we'll be coming back to you.
Okay, so you've got a plan you're working on, or you already have it?
I've already asked my division superintendent to come up with a way to eliminate our Saturday run, where we service some of the restaurants downtown by either increasing a dumpster size or something like that. Right now, we do have to service several spots here downtown restaurants on Saturday. That is overtime. And I've asked him to see if we can cut that completely and just by modifying a route and maybe picking those up later during the day, something like that. So we're trying to find a way to cut everything that we can from it. Right now, we cannot cut the third route because we still have enough trucks, enough dumpsters out there that I can't get them all serviced just with two trucks. Mm-hmm. But between 25% and 30%, especially at 30%, we'll be cutting a truck. We'll have to.
Larry, doesn't DHEC require 7-day pickup for some businesses?
No, sir. The only thing that DHEC requires is that a business meet a certain sanitation rating. You know, obviously, if you go into a restaurant, DHEC wants that restaurant to be clean, and they have people that do go into the restaurants and check them. If they go back out and they find a dumpster that's in very poor condition, not cleaned up or whatever, then that's a black mark against that sanitation rating.
Yeah, I thought one of the merchants said they had to have 7-day pickup.
We do not pick up on a 7-day basis, okay. So I'm not sure where that comes from.
Okay. One of the reasons why it's so difficult to give you a timeline is it'd be great if we had our 300-plus customers and there's X amount picked up on Monday and the same on Tuesday and the same on Wednesday and the same on Thursday and the same on Friday, but the majority of them all get picked up on Monday because they had stuff from the weekend, and so you're running three trucks on Monday. Well, you get to Tuesday and Thursday, there's not as many that are picked up on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you get by with two trucks. Then so Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are our busier days, Monday and Friday being the busiest, and Monday being the busiest of those two.
Correct.
So it's kind of like you're up and down on the number of pickups per day, and the same difficulty we have is the geographical area hasn't shrunk. We're going still to all the geographical areas of the city. It's just in between you're picking up less people. So we could try to come up with a timeline, but the only thing that we know for certain is that the revenue is dropping and we still have essentially the same amount of expenses.
That is correct. That's why I'm giving you my best estimate just based on the attrition rate that we're seeing right now.
Now, we did see a large attrition rate, especially in the first 2 to 3 weeks after we raised the rates. I would expect that the number of individuals who are going to change to a different business, probably the majority of them have already changed. And so I would not expect to see the same rate of drops as we've seen in the past several weeks. So it's been close to 6-7 weeks now since we instituted this new system.
Yes, sir.
Will you need to adjust the budget? I noticed looking at the budget for the garbage collection, which may include more than just the commercial, that we're $50,000 higher this year than we were last year.
Mm-hmm. And that $50,000 higher is based on the fact that the rate increase that you approved would have brought in $85,000 more money. And then we knew that we'd be picking up some people because we are still having people moving into new homes, et cetera, about 100 a year. And so the residential was going to increase. But meanwhile, we knew we were going to have a decrease in the other area.
And then I don't mean to go back to the budget.
But no, we may have to adjust that if we continue to lose customers.
And also on the recycling, we're only projecting $3,000 for recycling revenue. Do we not get money for the recycling?
No, we lose money.
We got $38,000 so far this year, and only projecting $3,000 for next year.
That's on the what do we get the money for recycling? The cardboard? Do we sell it still?
Cardboard is the only thing that we get money from, and we don't have a full recycling program for commercial cardboard. We have a few cardboard dumpsters out there that the county provided, and they're painted blue and they've got cardboard slots in them.
Why do we have a separate recycling collection? I thought we gave it to North Augusta and they gave us some money.
We do, but that's why we do not have a separate system for commercial, because we can't pick up dumpsters with our residential recycling. When we take our recycling to North Augusta, they have been charging us. They do not give us money for that. That's an actual charge that comes out of our budget.
Oh, wow.
And that's roughly $38,000 a year. We've recently, the city manager and myself, have been negotiating with them to try to get that number down so that we can get a more realistic fee from them. But yes, recycling costs us money. We do not make money on
it. We'll talk about it the next meeting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go back into the budget.
No, that's okay.
So let's
see if we can all understand what the next step will be. What's the next action point here?
The next action point, as I've talked with the city manager, is when we hit a 30% reduction in the commercial that we're doing, I will be coming back to him recommending that we eliminate one truck and one driver. I would not want to lay that driver off. I would want to move him somewhere else within our workforce. You know, that's a promise we've tried to keep over the years, and we've been very fortunate with that. In the meantime, we are trying to revise our routes. We're trying to get folks to have service on different days so that we can at least balance our routes better. As Mr. LeDuc says, we still are covering the same geographical area. We're using the same amount of fuel. We're using the same hours, but we're not picking up as many people. A good, for instance, I believe, was one of the local banks. Had four different branches. I received a phone call and they said, come get your dumpsters Monday. So we lost all four of those accounts in one day.
Yeah. So when you come back to us and tell us that, you're going to want to drop a truck and a person, right?
Correct.
And then what are you going to say about our costs?
At that point in time, we'll probably have to ask for a rate increase also.
Okay.
Because of the lack of revenue that we're seeing now, we're already losing money. So we're going deeper into the red.
Okay. Is there an either or there? You ask for an increase or something else?
I mean, you know, eventually we're talking, what I think we're talking about here is that we will never probably 100% eliminate our commercial garbage service. We'll always have some form of it if we're going to keep in the downtown area. Correct? That's what I'm hearing is council saying that we want to continue in the downtown area in some fashion. If that's the case, we could either go through the attrition and just slowly going from the three down the two, down the one, down to a part-time person. I mean, that's one way of doing it. Or you just say at some point in time, enough's enough, and we're just going to eliminate garbage service for commercial businesses except for the downtown area.
Right.
I mean, it's one choice or the other.
And we're only hard and fast on the downtown area because none of us is convinced that another one of the competitors could do what the city has been doing.
Right.
I mean, if some of the other competitors could do it.
I'm sure they could, mm-hmm. but I'm very happy to hear that the downtown businesses at least feel we provide a good service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, Mr. Mayor, the probability is just like, use an example, if you had 100 trucks, you drop off one or two, doesn't matter much. But once you drop off that third truck and you go to just two and you lose a few more customers, it's an exponential increase in cost. So you're basically going to get out of business at two trucks minus a little.
Yeah.
And that's
Roger.
That's where I would come from, too, because your cost will be exponential then.
Is there a possibility that with the customer base that we currently have, with the exception of the downtown area, that we could go to outside contractors and ask them to bid on the business that we have?
It's certainly
bids.
Been done that way, especially for residential, where the city hires an outside business to come in to service them. It stops the competition. You have to make a decision. Are you going to go ahead and guarantee a certain number of customers they're going to have so that they could control their rates and get back into that kind of monopoly type situation? Or are you going to let a free market go forward with the commercial garbage service?
Now, what I'm speaking of is not going, understand that we could go back to the situation of saying, okay, we're only going to allow one independent commercial garbage person in the city of Aiken, period. But what I'm speaking of is not that, but if we could go to the independent contractors and say, currently we have 295 customers. These dumpsters range, here's a listing of the sizes, here's a listing of the when they need to be dumped. What could you provide this service for the city of Aiken? For this customer base that we have. Now, this independent carrier would be free to solicit other customers in the city of Aiken. They may lose some or they may gain some. But if they gave us a contract price on doing what the city of Aiken is currently doing, and we were to open that up for competitive bidding, we may find that an independent carrier would be able to pick up the same number of dumpsters and dump them at a much lesser rate than it's currently costing the city of Aiken, while our rates could remain the same. I just feel like that's an alternative that I feel as though we need to look at. I mean, these guys, this is their business. They do it day in and day out. This is their bread and butter. If there's any way they cut costs, know how to cut costs, they've got it done that way. I mean, I'm not saying our system is not being run efficient. I'm just saying there's possibly more efficiency in a privately owned business than there would be in the city-run operation.
If I may answer that for you, I was approached by one of the private haulers about just such an arrangement as that. And the first thing that they said was that we would have to be guaranteed this number of customers. The only way I can guarantee them that number of customers is if council makes a decision to close the city of Aiken to every other hauler, with the exception of the one that wins the bid. So it's a two-step process. First, we have to close the city, then we have to bid it, and then we're in the position of monitoring their contract and handling the problems that come with that contract. So really, we get all of the non-benefit of getting the phone calls and having to deal with the problems and then trying to make that contractor live up to his contract. And we're also freezing out every other company. And again, I was approached by a separate firm for that, but that was the only way that they could do it. If we left it all open and we said, okay, we'll bid out 295 customers, but we didn't close it and freeze it, first thing that's going to happen is possibly he goes down to 280 and then he says, I need to renegotiate my contract.
But, Mr. Morris, by that same token, I mean, I realize this was one of the carriers that you were talking to. I do believe there may be other carriers out there that would be willing to bid this on an open basis, knowing that there are neighboring businesses that they could solicit and would solicit for additional customers. They also know that there's a situation out there that they could possibly lose a customer.
They're doing that now. They are soliciting now. So we're getting the benefit now of all four soliciting and being out there and actually giving the lowest and best price that they can give. So it's not a situation where we even need to be involved with that. And I have been contacted personally by three out of the four. We did not give them our entire listing of customers. We just told them, if you want to go in, you are free to talk to people. And we are seeing the customers go, you know, to the various other firms. But that's what's happening right now. They are essentially, without bidding to us, they are bidding to the customer. So I think we're seeing that happen right now.
I think we're prolonging the inevitable, and that is we're going to have to go to commercial services and contract this out. That we're losing money. That's just a business decision. But closing off the city. I support an open bidding process, though. As my colleague has indicated, I think that we can get some probably good servicers, providers for service in an open bid process. But I think that I'd like to see this move forward. Talk to the folks in Greenville. They do not have the city no longer doing the commercial work, but rather they've contracted it out because they were losing money, and other cities are losing money. And so I think we're going to eventually have to go this route. And why not just do the due diligence and let's move in that direction?
What do you mean by contracting out, Lizzie?
As Don has indicated, let's have a private service to do this.
Yeah, in other words, getting rid of the city
function.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. That's a little different, I think, than what I heard you say, Don. You want the city to stay involved but deal with the vendor.
What I would like to see is the city approach some of the independent haulers and see if they would be willing to bid on the customer base in which we have. To see, you know, if they would indeed give us a contract price on doing what we've been doing as far as the number of dumps, the trips that are made today, the number of yards hauled. I think these are figures that we could give to them without having to identify every individual customer. And, you know, as an independent businessman, would be more than thrilled to bid on something like that, knowing it was a bulk of business.
There's no obligation on the part of any of the businesses to stay with the contract.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But, you know,
so just as easy for the city to get out of the business altogether.
The thing about it is, you know, if he provides a good service at a good price to that customer, or if that customer's price does not change, chances are they're going to stay with that carrier. The advantage that an independent carrier would have over the city of Aiken is they're going to be out there actively soliciting business. That's something that we've, you know, we just don't have the manpower, and we've not had the people out on the streets actively soliciting these businesses. There's a game they play in doing that, just as Larry Morris just said to you. They're going to lowball the price. They're going to get the business. They're going to be out here cherry-picking the good ones. But for one independent carrier to be able to walk into the city of Aiken and automatically pick up 295 customers ought to be worth a tremendous amount to that customer.
Yeah, you just have no assurance.
Currently doing.
You just have no assurance that
he wouldn't have any assurances that he was going to have the 295.
Well, in the private sector, you got competition. There's four of them, and they're going to make sure they stay as close as they can to a price that will get them the business.
But for one of them to be able to walk into the city of Aiken and automatically have 259 customers, I think would be a tremendous asset to them.
Larry, based on what Don has stated, what is the involvement of the city?
That's where I'm having a real trouble making a leap of faith here.
Right.
If I go to someone and ask for a bid, I have to guarantee a certain level of work for that bid. I cannot do that unless I close the city. And that's what Councilman Wells has said, is don't close the city if people see a good price that they would stay with them. That's happening now. As Councilman DeWar said, we have four people out there right now bidding.
For this
mm-hmm. for this customer.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I understand what Councilman Wells is saying, is that if I could say, here's 295 customers, you have all of the city of Aiken's business, the first thing I as a businessman am going to ask is, how long will I have them? Well, you've got them for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. What if Company A comes in and undercuts my price by 10 cents? How can you protect me, city, to keep him from jumping? Well, I can't.
Let me just maybe answer this a little bit. It'd be similar to how if a doctor was going out of business and he had a certain number of clientele that was visiting him, he could sell that list of clientele to someone else. There's no guarantee that that patient is going to go ahead and continue with that doctor. So we could go ahead and go to these four individuals and say, we have a list of 295 folks. We could sell you the dumpsters that are out there and maybe some associated equipment or whatever you want. You give us a price for that, and then they're on their own. But, you know, there would be no guarantee that once they got that list that's going to stay at whatever number it is, it's going to be up to them to keep winning that services with them. So it's really not... It'd be a very unusual bid, but certainly could be done.
But if you give out a contract, you would be expected to administer it. You can't just...
All I'm saying is we'd sell them our list. Here's the addresses,
okay, well,
here's the individuals.
No. That's not contracting.
Yeah, and whoever gives us the best price for that list would go ahead and be able to have phone numbers and names.
And they own it.
And they would start the business. In other words, we'd say as of June 1, you're going to start picking up those dumpsters. And we'd let the customers know that they got 30 days to find someone else, or Party X is going to be servicing them at this price. I mean, that's about all we could do.
Roger.
Don't we do this if we just back out of it and have it known that, okay, in 2 months, let's say, the city is going to be out of the business of picking up trash, garbage. I'm letting you know now, all four companies, I'm letting you know now, we're going to back out. We're going to do it. So we just back out. Why do we have to be so involved in this thing? As soon as that notice goes out, if it were to come up to that, they're going to start looking for their best choice anyway. Are they not?
That's what's happening.
We don't have to. Why do we have to do anything other than make the decision that we're going to get out of the business and not lose money and not keep losing money?
I think that's where I am. The the companies are out there doing it now. They are soliciting customers
sure.
now.
Well, that's being proved because we've lost 59 customers
right.
here. And if we, somewhere.
If we as a city make a decision and say in 60 days we will be out of the business,
right?
Then the free market takes over.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that point. And we're not really involved. We don't have to bid at all for that. All we would be doing would be advertising, saying, hey, we've got some dumpsters to sell. If you all want to give us a bid on the dumpsters, here they are.
Absolutely. Well, they're doing it themselves right now anyway, so let the process go.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Roger, are there things, well, I guess for you, are there things that the city does for the customers that the other providers are not doing?
In the downtown area and some of the other areas, if somebody called us up and they said, we have this special event going on and our dumpster is going to be filled up, could you come give us a special dump? We're going to do it. I'm sure that the private people would give them some service. I do know that sometimes when, especially in the downtown area, garbage gets scattered or there needs to be a special cleanup, we'll sometimes go in there and assist or help them out. Again, these are, it's almost like a family here when we're dealing with the different businesses. We're trying to make the businesses as successful as possible. And so there are times we go out of our way to assist them. I'm sure the private companies would do the same thing, but I'm sure they would also say, yes, we'll come and give you another dump, but that'll be $10 or $15 or $20 now, and as a service fee. Typically, we do not do that, and maybe we should be doing that, but we have not. And that's why I think you saw Sam Erb and Russ Richardson come on down here and say, we don't want to lose you. For instance, in that particular case, we have five different customers using that dumpster. Well, we make a special arrangement. We split the bill amongst five different folks. Would a private business do that? Probably not. But we have the ability and we have the billing. And one of the reasons why we've been as low as we have been is we don't have to create another bill. We don't have to have another billing office. Our billing office is being absorbed by the water and sewer. And the bill comes as the same bill as they get with the water and sewer bill. So it's not like we have a separate accounting system just for commercial garbage. But Tyler and Waste Management, these other ones, that's all special billing for them. That's their sole customer. We provide multiple services to those customers. I think it's just a matter of time. It's just going to be when does council want to do it and how do they want to do it. That's just my opinion.
Well, we've got 30% thing in June, and by that time we ought to make up our mind what we think we ought to do.
I think when you hit two trucks, the cost is, which eventually is going to go up exponential. That's just just the way businesses are run.
Well, maybe that's the time to say, okay, yeah, let's just do the downtown if that's what council wants to do.
And the cost will go up, but I exponentially is probably a little bit on the high side because, again, we'll cut off one truck, we'll cut off one driver, that much less gas. But again, there is savings with scale of economy. And the more customers you have that you can spread out amongst these drivers, the better off you are. When you have less customers, you may be able to reduce the workforce, but you still have the same number of overhead and other things that are involved with it. And instead of having one spare truck for three routes, you'll have one spare truck for two routes. And, you know, those things don't change.
Yeah, you're convincing the wrong one.
I know.
Okay, are we going to wait till Larry comes back to us?
Yes.
And then take it up again?
Our intent was to come back with a report once we started hitting that 25-30% range.
Right.
Okay.
I got one other question here on the sewers. I was just looking at the numbers, and it's my memory fails me. Did you say we don't charge for cleaning sewers, backups for homeowners, and so forth?
We have a jet truck that we put out that we clean mainlands, and one that we clean out the homeowner's lands up to their property land. We do not go on their property.
We don't go on their property.
And no, there is no charge, no special charge for that. Okay. If we determine that a backup is caused by a plug in their own line between the property line and their home, we tell them they need to get a plumber. But again, we don't charge for those call outs.
Okay. Typically on all new homes, and we're starting to get it on more of the older homes, there is a clean out at the property line. Mm-hmm. And you could open up the plug and you could determine where the backup is at. There are still a number of homes that do not have clean outs at the property line, and so it is a little bit more difficult to determine. All they know is the sewer is not leaving the house. And we can look in the manhole in the street, and that may determine some things and may not. So there are occasions that, to relieve the situation, we, not to disagree with what Larry says, but we do sometimes go on private property if we need to until a clean out could get put in there.
And Mr. LaDuke is correct. My people have the authority that if someone is just absolutely blocked up, can't do anything, they have the authority to go ahead and try to help out the homeowner. The homeowner does have to sign a release for us to allow us to come up there. We have to be very careful with our high-pressure cleaning equipment. We certainly wouldn't want to blow sewage into somebody's house or have somebody sitting on the toilet, shall we say, and all of a sudden they leave the toilet quickly. We wouldn't want to do that. No, bad news.
But that's not the norm, but that does still happen. I just wanted to make sure that you didn't get the idea that we never...
Right, because we have helped homeowners out and successfully cleared a line for them. No, we've never blown anybody off of a toilet. No, we haven't.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, we finished with Larry for the time being. Thank you.
Larry's finished.
Too much information, Larry, please.
Okay. Now, Leslie had mentioned board appointments early on.
I have two.
Have two, okay.
With the Arts Commission, Joanne Saunders, reappointment of Joanne to the Arts Commission, and with the Building Code and Appeals Committee, Andrew Bartnight.
Okay, so both reappointments.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd also like to reappoint the two people that are here. Keisha Lloyd Kennedy for the Arts Commission and Timothy Redd for the Building Code of Appeals Committee.
Excellent.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, they'll be on the agenda next meeting then.
Thank you.
Okay, there's nothing else?
I think Sarah wants these returned quickly, right, Sarah?
Okay.
If you can't return them, at least call her up and let her know.
Okay, that's for the municipal meeting?
Yes.
Okay, all right. We're adjourned.
Thank you, Dick.
Chief, returning yours in.